translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The 31st branch was Jagadisha Pandit, and the 32nd was Hiranya Mahasaya, unto whom Lord Chaitanya in his childhood showed his causeless mercy. Purport. Jagadisha Pandit was formerly a great dancer in Krishna Leela, and was known as Chandra Hasa. Regarding Hiranya Pandit, it is said that once Lord Nityananda, decorated with valuable jewels, stayed at his house, and a great thief attempted all night long to plunder these jewels, but was unsuccessful. Later he came to Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered unto him. Okay, so we'll say Mangala Charan and then we'll begin. Magyana Tamarandasya Ginanjana Shilakaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Suprajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila chapter 10, and we are hearing about the different branches of the Chaitanya tree. And so we're reading through verses 68 to 70. So first of all, in 68, it's explained every day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jokingly snatched fruits, flowers, and pulp from Sridhar and drank from his broken iron pot. So it's explained in the previous verse that Sridhar is a trader in banana tree bark. And he's a very dear servant of the Lord, and that the Lord is reciprocating with him. So this is actually a unique feature of spirituality in terms of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Generally, when you consider a religious tradition, there is actually no concept of Leela. There's absolutely no concept of an intimate exchange. So throughout practically all the major religions of the world, God is unknown. There is no understanding of the intimate personality of the Lord. What to speak of all is being demonstrated here? What to speak of there being a very intimate, loving exchange? To the point that the devotee and the Lord are literally having jokes. So it is a very intimate aspect of God consciousness that we come to within the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And one of the special qualities of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that it is helping us to understand just how much the Lord longs to reciprocate with his devotees. We understand that there are many reasons for the Lord's descent. Whenever there is a rise in irreligion and a decline in religion, the Lord comes. But these are actually considered secondary reasons. The primary reason is that the Lord actually wants to interact with his devotees. Huh? The Lord is missing his devotees. Hmm? And he wants to engage in these loving exchanges. I was here in a class recently, and it was explained that when Prabhupada was coming from India to the West, he was suffering heart attacks, and at one point the Lord appeared before him and said to him, "You should come back. Hmm? You should come back. Why don't you come back? Come back to me." And Srila Prabhupada responded by saying, "But I have not yet fulfilled the order of my spiritual master." And then Krishna said to him, "Okay then, go on and do your nonsense." In a sense of a mood of humor, a very, very wonderful and intimate loving exchange between the Lord and his devotees. And this is what the living entities live and die for. We should make no mistake, we are living for relationship, we are living for reciprocation. No amount of external opulence can ever replace that. So above everything, look, above all the trinkets that this material world can offer, above all of these is the category of rasa or relationship. And then within this category of rasa or relationship, above all relationships, is the relationship, the intimate, loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees. This is what the living entities live and die for. Nothing has any meaning unless there is this ability to love, to have loving exchange. And therefore, actually, everything in this material world is simply a medium through which we will have loving exchange. And it is a medium through which we are meant to have loving exchange of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The entire material world, in the view of Shastra, is simply a medium of affection. It is simply a medium of affection. Therefore, every single activity that a devotee has carries this invisible weight. And that is the weight of devotion with which the activity is executed. Our mission in Krishna consciousness is not to do great things. I repeat, our mission in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is not to do great things. It is to do things with great love. And when an activity is done with great love and devotion, that activity is significant in the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our purpose. So we need to develop a society and a community that will appreciate the significance, the sincerity, the devotion with which an activity is performed. And then from that quality, everything else will come. I was in a discussion with one devotee recently, and he was saying to me that his personal realization is that the entire movement grows on the strength of purity. And especially those devotees who really dig deep and who really serve with purity, chant with purity. He said that his realization is that it is the significance of their devotion that is practically holding and moving the entire movement. But you get what you recognize. What can happen for a Kanishtha is we look at the externals. So our idea is that it's all about how big the project is, right? The external scale. But Krishna owns the entire world. He owns the entire universe. So from his perspective, how much can you actually do? Even if you offer the entire world, from the perspective of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how big is that? And think about that in contrast to this verse. Because here it says, every day Lord Chaitanya jokingly snatched fruits, flowers and pulp from Sridhar and drank, not from his iron pot, but from his broken iron pot. It is not even an intact object. But here he has this desire and this willingness to reciprocate. So if it's not on the externals, it must be on this invisible weight, this devotion. So we should understand that from quality, quantity will come. That does not mean that we don't try to externally spread the movement. We do that. But the movement is twice. There are two movements in the devotee's life. There is the external movement and there is the internal movement. And actually, one supports the other. Does that make sense? So if you go deep, then as deep as you go, as external as you can also go. This is the point. If we go very deep in our devotion, and there are so many ways, so many amazing and delicious ways in which we can become more Krishna conscious. As deep as we go, to that degree we can sustain our ability to expand. So there are always two directions in the devotee's life. And if we want to expand in a sincere and lasting way, there must be some real sincerity. Because what does the sincerity do? Sincerity makes you an instrument of Krishna's mercy, of the supreme grace of the supreme personality of Godhead. And the sincerity does something even greater than that. It makes you an instrument of the grace of the Lord's own servants. We understand that servant means one who is dependent upon the Lord. But you should also know there's the other side of the equation. Right? The servant is dependent upon the Lord, and the Lord also depends upon his devotee. So it's a very interesting and intimate dynamic of loving exchange. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gonitai Guru Prabhupada Shri Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj Ki Jai. It is a very intimate and loving exchange of spiritual empowerment. It is a deep and intimate exchange of empowerment. And nothing is more powerful than love. Nothing is more powerful than pure, unalloyed love and devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The general consideration is that there is nothing greater than God. The general consideration is that there is nothing greater than God. But we disagree. In our tradition, we say that there is one thing which is superior than the personality of God himself, and that is devotion to the Supreme Personality. We say that that devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually greater in quality than the Supreme Lord himself. So this is what the devotee is striving for. Often, from what we've seen, there is a misunderstanding amongst the Vaishnavas, which is to be addressed. Generally, there's a misunderstanding conceptually, and also a misunderstanding in the mood and flavor to our Krishna consciousness. There is a reluctance for pure devotion because we think that you'll lose out. You won't be able to do all the fun things that all your friends are doing, right? You have to be a bit more strict than everyone else, a bit more serious than everyone else. But it seems like everyone's doing okay as they are, right? So why should I be the odd one out who has to go deeper? But you should always understand that the people who go deepest, they get the most, right? You may think that person who's a bit more strict, who's a bit deeper, who's more focused, you may think it looks like they're not having the same kind of casual lifestyle flexibility, but you don't understand what those people are actually experiencing. And one of the things you have to bear in mind is out of their humility, generally you won't necessarily hear about what those people are experiencing. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead can't cheat anyone. So if someone is more deep in their devotion, you should know for a fact that there's absolutely no way that they can be missing out. If that person is deeper in their devotion, you should know for a fact that whatever is coming to that individual is itself supreme. So as deep as you go, the more you give, the more you get. Krishna consciousness and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so magnanimous and compassionate that He has unlimited treasures to give to anyone and everyone. Unlimited gifts, unlimited qualities of loving exchange, just as being illustrated here. And He wants to give these gifts to every single living entity. That means that He wants to give these gifts to you. And the sign that we are convinced that Krishna does not cheat people, the sign that we are convinced that Krishna does not shortchange individuals, is that we, as we hear, and as we read, and as we associate, we go deeper. We go deeper. We go deeper to the point that we give ourselves completely to the surrender of the Lord. What is surrender? When you have love for an individual and you remove all vestiges, all patterns of fear from that love. When you have affection, attraction for an individual and you remove all the fear, then what happens to an individual? An individual who loves another and removes all the fear that they have towards that other person, when all the fear is removed, that love melts into or manifests as full surrender. So when you love Krishna and there's no fear that by giving yourself to Him, that He will not shortchange you, that invokes full surrender. So faith is synonymous with that process of removing all the fear, removing all the distrust or doubt that if I give myself to this person, will there not be some way in which I will actually miss out? Love minus fear causes the living entity to surrender. So we don't need to dress it up in some kind of nice way. The truth of the matter is, our lack of surrender is a fear. It is a particular manifestation of our fear. Will Krishna actually come through for me? So we're meant to become akutobaya, doubtless and fearless. And through the systematic, deep connection with the process of devotion, when you're fearless, you will understand you surrender. So the most fearless individuals are those who are most surrendered. It is not the person who boasts the most. It is a person who is actually most surrendered. And you should understand, that person who surrendered, they are being held in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are being held in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How would that be? What would that be feeling like? And how would He arrange your life if you allow yourself to be held in the hands of the Supreme Person? In this next verse, it says, the 30th branch was Bhagavan Pandi. He was an extremely dear servant of the Lord, but even previously he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, who always kept the Lord within his heart. Interesting. Even previously he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada, there's a letter Prabhupada wrote. He said, actually, I do not make any disciples. He said, I do not recruit any disciples. He said, I only recruit so many masters and engage them in the service of the Lord. Interesting. Different ways you can look at that statement. I only recruit so many masters. This mission is extremely auspicious and extremely esoteric. So many of the personalities in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, they have been called in by Prabhupada to help in the spreading of this movement, in the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's own pastimes on this earth through this International Society. So Prabhupada Leela is also Gaura Leela. And Gaura Leela is also Nama Leela. Why? Because Nama Leela is the pastime of the holy name going out to every town, every village. So this movement is a historical movement. The involvement in this movement is a historic offering to the entire human civilization at this present time. And when the devotees perform their yajna, their sacrifices, their activities properly, when the devotees engage in this Sankirtan yajna, every single living entity benefits. Therefore it is called para upakar. When you do your devotional service properly, even the most gross materialistic person is able to have food to put on their plate and to survive. Because everything comes by sacrifice. We were giving, last weekend we were in Birmingham, we were talking about relationships and friendships in particular. And we were making the point that everyone wants these fantastic relationships, but the material energy is so tricky. And unfortunately, the living entities in this world are so foolish that we think we can have something, we can get something for nothing. So we were explaining that if you want relationships, you have to be prepared to make some sacrifice. It can't be that we're working all the hours God sends, but we expect to have these fantastic relationships. Because in Kali Yuga, if you know this, no one has any time for relationships. And then we're tricked. We think, oh, but this person seems to have nice relationships and they don't seem to be giving that much time. No, it means they made sacrifices in their previous life. You can never get something for nothing. We have to be mature enough to put yajna first. Prabhupada says, first deserve, then desire. First deserve, then desire. He says, work now, samadhi later. So if we engage in our devotional service nicely, if we develop a taste for giving, then you cannot imagine, you cannot conceive the reciprocation of the Lord. We have to become so cultured that we like serving. You understand? We have to become so deep in our devotion that we want to give to the devotees. And we want to give to the devotees from here, from the heart. It has to be heartfelt, heart strong, and sincere. You give from the heart, you get to the heart. You understand? How deeply you give is how deeply you are touched by the Lord's own reciprocation. That is the purple of Yayatamam Prapadyante. Otherwise, it is an incompatible situation. A deep, eternal soul trying to act superficially, it is an incompatible situation. And therefore, even as a devotee, if you're superficial, you will never taste deep levels of devotion. It doesn't matter how much you think otherwise. It doesn't work. Devotion itself is a deep activity. And it is a relishable activity. Just think back to a time in your own life where you can honestly say you served very sincerely from the heart. How did it feel? And how powerful it was, because people are touched when they feel that purity, that sincerity. You may not be 100% pure, but your devotion can be pure if your motive is pure. So therefore, it is simply a question of how much you want to be blessed by the auspicious mercy of the Lord. More sincerity means, by definition, you become more blessed by the Lord. So it's your choice. It is a choice of everyone. Now here in this verse, it is said that Bhagavan Pandit always kept the Lord within his heart. This is very powerful. Purity is based upon your purpose. If you for 1 week consciously think in every activity, how, first of all, what would my spiritual master want me to do? How would he want me to do it? You act on that platform with that meditation, you're conscious, and you look and see what happens within your own consciousness and within your devotional life. I guarantee you there'll be an increase in the devotion. Because the Lord is always within the heart, he's hiding within the heart, and he's watching what you're doing. But there is another factor behind it. Not only is Krishna watching what you're doing, because that's one thing, but he's watching why you're doing it. Right? We do so many activities, but we are an international society for Krishna consciousness. So if it is not being done, if the devotional service is not being done for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of the spiritual master, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, it does not have the same potency. We do not want to mechanically walk through our devotional life. Because if you do that, you will come after years of devotion and you will find out something that will shock you. You will find out that your advancement was not so much the hours that you put in. It was the quality of those hours. You understand? So you have two individuals putting in seemingly the same amount of time in their devotional service, but one person is very much sincerely doing it for Krishna. Right? You do it for the supreme pleasure of the supreme person, there is a different result. There is a much greater magnitude of spiritual strength. And it also plays into our faith. What happens when there's faith? And where does faith come from? You do the right thing, in the right way, at the right time, with the right purpose. That is the complete package. That means that for every moment of service, you get the most mercy from the Lord. The mercy rains down on you. And then you quickly see how powerful and potent this devotional service is. This is option one. Option two is you just sleepwalk through your devotional life, doing so-called engaging your body in service, your mind is a million miles away. Therefore, there is always something, there is always some benefit, but it's not as much as it could have been. And then after a few years of practicing, you're thinking, I'm practicing, I haven't heard Krishna's flute, what's going on with that? Right? You know? I'm serving, I've read in the books, you know, I've heard in all these classes, it said if you serve, you're supposed to feel blissful. I don't feel blissful, Prabhu. You know? I haven't even got any mystic powers. You know? I mean, at least I should have some siddhis by now. You know? Does this process work? And it also affects your potency of preaching. Because a convinced individual can convince others. And you're convinced because you do this process, you follow these teachings, and you see how the Lord reciprocates. And then no one can tell you that this person doesn't exist. Right? They ask Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, can you see Krishna? Prabhupada says, I can't see Krishna. They said, why not? He said, because you're standing in the way. Get out the way, and I'll be able to see him. So that's the point. We're living and dying for this reciprocation. This is why the Lord himself comes. He's coming to reciprocate with you. That means everything you do in devotional life, every single activity, this is your chance to do something sincerely with some sincere feeling for the Lord. And don't think that he's not watching. Don't think that he's not waiting, and don't think that he's not reciprocating. It is fantastically exciting. If you perform this devotional process properly, you are guaranteed that what will happen to you, the adventures, the different intrigues in your devotional life, first of all, it will give you phenomenal confidence. Because you can know for a fact that even though there may be tests and obstacles, these tests and obstacles are some fantastic manifestation of mercy from my sweet Lord. From my sweet Lord. Therefore, you don't even have to worry about the externals. Of course, you still act in a practical and intelligent way, but you can be guaranteed, whatever's going on, this is ultimately for, it is ultimately in my best interest. So for example, we know that the rule follows the reality. Often, we're taught in a way which is foolish, to be really honest with you. People now think that when you shouldn't criticize devotees. Why? Because it's bad. No, that's not the reason why you shouldn't criticize devotees. When you criticize an individual, if they don't retaliate, you get the sinful karma of the person that you criticize. That's explained in the Mahabharata. So therefore, when Krishna is giving guidelines in the Shastra, the guidelines are meant for your benefit. Krishna's point is that if you follow what the Shastra says, you benefit. It's not this kind of silly or superficial, that's good, that's bad. You're dealing with a person who loves you. Try and understand this point. When the teachings are there from Krishna and the pure devotees, you're dealing with someone who loves you, people who love you in a way that you can't even conceive. Practically, you couldn't understand it. It's not something that can be grasped by the mind in our present state. Right? So when they're giving an instruction, it's because they are intimately concerned for your well-being. So those instructions are simply a manifestation of their love and their compassion for you. That's why we follow. It's not superficial. It's nothing to do with some mundane morality. You're dealing with people who care about you. They're begging you to do these things because they know that you will gain the most by acting in this way. Does that make some sense? The rule follows the reality. This is why we follow. And we need to understand this. Because the mind has three functions: thinking, feeling, willing. We were giving a seminar on chanting, and we began by looking at what are the official statements and understandings about the chanting. Okay, the holy name is not different from Krishna. Chanting, there's no other means to become self-realized in this age apart from chanting, etc., etc. That is what you could say is the platform of thinking. That's the official statements. Then we ask devotees, how did devotees in our movement actually feel when they're chanting? Feel about chanting. It's a chore. It's a burden. It's one of the things that you have to do, right? And therefore, we said the third thing, the willing or the action. What do devotees do? What are the habits related to chanting? Leave it as late as possible. Chant, but think about everything else, right? Practically, most devotees, their scheduled time for planning their day is while they're doing their japa, right? Hare Krishna, I'll go do this today. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Yep, oh, don't forget that. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Oh, I need to make sure I do this also. That's their planning time. So thinking, feeling, willing. The feeling aspect, according to the Shastra, is the most powerful. Of the three features of the mind, how an individual feels is the most powerful aspect. That's the thing that moves people the most. So we have to bring things to the point where with the heart we want to engage in this devotional service. One of the special features of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is that we were in the presence of such a magnanimous, inspiring and loving person that people, they didn't just have to practice pure devotional service. In the presence of Srila Prabhupada, and he's always present by the way, people wanted to do things just to pull a smile on his face. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, they were prepared to give up the entire world just to get the smile of Srila Prabhupada. So even if not pure, they were practicing pure devotional service because they were acting simply for the pleasure of this great, pure Nitya Siddha Vaishnava. And because Prabhupada is always present, his mercy is always present. You can always pray to Srila Prabhupada. We can always meditate on Srila Prabhupada. We can always try to be purer in our devotional service. And there will always be reciprocation. Anything you do in Krishna consciousness is never lost. It's never lost. There's always reciprocation. In this last verse, it talks about the 31st branch was Jagadisha Pandit, and the 32nd was Hiranya Mahasaya, unto whom the Lord Chaitanya in his childhood shows his causes of mercy. This principle of causes of mercy is very, very important. There's a misunderstanding sometimes that causes of mercy means you don't have to do anything. That's wrong. Mercy comes because you want it. Right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the price is lolium, greed. Right? Because if you have greed, you will put yourself in a position to receive the causes of mercy. But because you put yourself in a position to receive the causes of mercy, it doesn't mean that you can force that mercy to descend. But when the mercy does descend, you're there waiting with open arms and it descends upon you. And how does one become receptive to that mercy? Because in one sense, this is a trick. In one sense, it's a trick. If you are practicing devotional service, there is a torrential downpour of mercy. But it's about being receptive to it, and it's about being able to hold that mercy. You understand? How much mercy can you actually take? What is your receptivity to the mercy and capacity for collecting that mercy? And where does that come from? By following the instruction of the spiritual master very deeply. Right? That means not just externally, but deeply. There is the letter of the law, and there is the spirit of the law. Okay? By following both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, the instruction and the mood, you become both receptive to and able to increase your capacity for holding on to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a science. So you may fulfill the order of the spiritual master, but you may do it in a very poor consciousness, in a very poor mood. You may associate with the Vaishnavas, but you do it in a very poor mood, but you're ticking all the boxes externally. You don't get as much as someone who does the right thing in the right way, at the right time, for the right purpose. That is the full package, so don't miss out. And therefore we can examine our spiritual life in that sense. Is it the full package? The more you give, as much as you give, to that extent, that is actually a reflection of your own capacity to receive. Because we're dealing with a relationship here. Samoham Sarvabhute Shu. How is it possible that Krishna can say he has no favorites, but then you see that different people have different levels of devotional advancement? What does this mean, this Samoham Sarvabhute Shu? It means that the ratio also always remains the same. We hear this point. You take one step towards Krishna, he will take a million steps towards you. Okay. So that is equality. Okay, the ratio is fixed. You take one step towards Krishna, he will take a million steps towards you. Now, that's one factor. The second factor is, guess what? One devotee took 3 steps, so Krishna took 3 million towards him. The other devotee took 5 steps, so Krishna took 5 million towards him. Is it equal? Yes, the ratio didn't change. The difference was a difference in how much the individual surrendered. So your reciprocation with the Lord actually is down to you. If you want more, you just need to give more, surrender more. The full surrender. But don't do it grudgingly. Do it because you know that this is your friend, this Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is your intimate, well-wishing friend. He really cares about you. In ways that you couldn't imagine. And he is going to take care of you. Surrender is a process. So, as you sincerely give yourself, just be aware, be conscious, pay attention. Through the eyes of Shastra, you give yourself and you just watch. Be aware, be conscious, be receptive.
And you will see how in giving yourself, if you watch through the eyes of Shastra, you will see in real time that as you are giving yourself, amazing and fantastic things are happening within you and around you. If you are simply receptive, you can see it. And if you can't see it, you can beg the Lord, please help me to understand how to surrender, and please help me to understand how you are lovingly caring for me as I give myself to you. Because the Supreme Person is always there, you can always ask. We forget that. We think he's there. Well, no, we don't think he's there. We're doing everything, and what's happening? If there's a problem, ask him. I mean, you know, what's the problem? You're trying to surrender to him. You're not sure what's going on. Your friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally present. And as he's explained here, he's within the heart. If there's a problem, ask him. He's there. Srila Prabhupada is there. When you follow the instructions of the previous acharyas, they are present. If there's a problem, ask them. And be receptive to how they reciprocate. So, let's move on. So, it's explained here that there's a pastime of a great thief who attempted all night long to plunder the jewels of Lord Nityananda. And he was unsuccessful. Later he came to Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered unto him. Isn't this our situation? We've tried everything to enjoy materially. It didn't work. Okay, Krishna, all right. Okay, all right. You've won. All right, I'll surrender now. One of the qualifications for advancement is material exhaustion. There are two ways to have material exhaustion. One is that you try everything and it doesn't work. But there's a more accelerated way. And that is that you understand through the Shastra that these other things cannot make me happy. The Shastra can bless you. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra can bless you with material exhaustion if you're sharp, if you think carefully. We were preparing a seminar on the mind. And we were, one of the notes was how the way that the intelligence works, if the intelligence is backed up by the Shastra, is the intelligence gives you the ability to penetrate any contemplation or any activity that you're thinking to perform. You don't just see the activity, you see through it. The intelligence, spiritual intelligence, takes you through the activity, through to the other side. So you see yourself, you see the activity, and you become fully aware of the results of that activity. And then you have an ability to consider whether you're going to perform that activity in light of the full picture. Right? So you want to do something sinful. Right? Through spiritual intelligence, it actually gives you the full picture. Right? And it's none of this religious dogmatic nonsense. The full picture, you want to do something sinful that will stimulate your senses. Your intelligence will tell you, yes, you are absolutely correct. You will get some enjoyment from this. Right? But that enjoyment will be temporary, and it will be nothing to how you will be beaten and kicked and punched and suffer in the long term. But feel free to do it if you feel like it. Yeah? Because that's the full picture. It is not dogmatic. It's not a pretense. Because it is truthful. The Shastra is truthful. The Shastra does not deny that material activity gives some simulation. But it says that that simulation is temporary, short-lived, and it's the thing that will cause you to be bound to this material world. Karma bandhana. And it is also the case that the Shastra says that even the greatest material activity, if you contrast it with spiritual, even a minute fraction of spiritual enjoyment, your greatest material experience will be extremely painful. So there is actually no material enjoyment in the contrast of spiritual experience. Now you may say, I don't get all these spiritual experiences all the time. But just give it time. Even in the secular world, they've done all of these experiments to understand which people will be successful. So there's this famous experiment called the marshmallow experiment. And they would have a very young child and they would sit the child down and pull a marshmallow in front of the child. And they would say to the child, if you can wait 20 minutes, I'm going to leave this marshmallow with you and go. If you can just hold on for 20 minutes and not eat this marshmallow for the next 20 minutes, when I come back, I'll give you a second marshmallow. So if you restrain yourself and practice self-discipline for 20 minutes, when I come back, you'll get another one. Okay? And what they found was, there were some children who could do it, and they came back and gave them a second marshmallow. There were some children who could not restrain themselves, and they just had to eat the marshmallow within the 20 minutes. Now, what's really interesting about that experiment is that they did what's called longitudinal studies. That means they studied the lives of children over time who were able, even at a young age, to hold back, to restrain themselves. And they found that those children who, even at a young age, showed that they were able to restrain themselves or delay gratification, they were far more materially successful, far less likely to engage in intoxication. They did far better in their educational pursuits. Had better relationships, more stable relationships. So many things. Now they just looked at it in this sense. But what is that experiment? They are only catching some principle that's in the Shastra. In other words, through that experiment, they've been able to perceive that there's some degree of sattva within that person, which is why they have some strength to delay gratification. You see? Now, what's also interesting is that they found that even the children who couldn't delay gratification, you can teach them to delay gratification. So now think about this in light of our situation. Even for what you stand to gain, imagine this: a life, an eternal life, with an eternal body, with a bliss which is inconceivable, and not only inconceivable, but inconceivably increasing in capacity, in depth, and in variety at every single moment. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you have to go through in this one tiny life, to be free once and for all from any kind of suffering, once and for all, isn't it worth it? See, think about it in context. This one life, you're not suffering at every moment, right? You come to a festival at the manor, you taste prasham, now you tell me you're suffering, right? You're not suffering at every moment. But even if you were, if you had to go through suffering for this entire life, one life, for what you stand to gain eternally, and your gains will be experienced before you leave the body, isn't it worth it? You know you're going to die. You know your body is going to grow old. We know there's going to be disease, right? But you can get off the spirit, you can get off the material platform before your body deteriorates. You have that option. The materialists, they don't even know that option is available. You have that option. You don't know what your karma is. You don't know what tests and obstacles are going to come in your life. But you know it is here and it is now. You can use your devotional service to optimally increase your devotional strength now, to give you the ability to face whatever you have to face in the future from the position of the greatest devotional strength. If someone does that, that's intelligent. And to waste your time and then complain when some situation or challenge happens and you feel, why is Krishna doing this to me? That's extremely foolish. Because at every moment you have the option to strengthen yourself. And how do we do that? It is using every moment as an opportunity to be more sincere. The more sincere you are, the stronger you actually are. So don't be fooled. Don't look around you and see bad examples and feel that these people are getting away with it. You don't know what's in their timetable. Be self-interested. But to be self-interested means you have to use your brain. Think. So when Prabhupada said to Giriraj Maharaj, how will this movement spread? He said, if we chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, by organization and intelligence. And he did not just mean external, it means also in your own life. Be intelligent about the application of Krishna consciousness in your own life. Don't be naive or foolish and then blame Krishna when you misapply the perfect teachings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our problem. Our problem is not that the teachings are imperfect. The problem is that our application of the perfect teachings is imperfect. We need to practice Krishna consciousness expertly, with finesse. With finesse. Do it and do it well. And don't think that it needs to be a boring experience. You live your spiritual life. Give your heart. Do it with style. No problem. Do it. But do it. If you're going to surrender to Krishna, surrender. Don't be a lukewarm devotee. Don't be half-hearted. It's like you're either on one side of the pavement or the other. If you stand in the middle of the road, what happens? You die. Right? You know, you're in the middle of the road. You can't work out what to do. Should I go here? Should I go there? No. Cross the road. Cross over from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Get out of the way. And don't be fooled. Whatever the Shastra says, you follow it with intelligence wisely, you'll see there'll be reciprocation. There's always reciprocation. There is never a time that Krishna does not reciprocate with his devotees. So when you don't see reciprocation, don't think Krishna didn't reciprocate. Think that I can't see his perfect reciprocation. Even Krishna's tests are a manifestation of his perfect reciprocation with each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And we see here that often when we're unsuccessful in our material pursuits, we surrender. We want to be successful in our external pursuits, but because we want to be successful for Him. We don't want the result for ourselves, but we want the result for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So don't think that doing external things in a sloppy way is devotional. Prabhu, it's not about the results, Prabhu. You know, we're devotees. No, we want results for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But having done the best we can, if the result doesn't come, then you can honestly say it was Krishna's will. You go out in Sankirtan, you do your 100% best, complete wholehearted surrender, and you don't distribute one single book, you can come back and you can honestly say this was Krishna's will. If you are 100% surrendered. So our point is very simple. We need to be intelligent enough to give ourselves in a wholehearted, enthusiastic and inspired way to Krishna consciousness. Not out of slavery, not out of a grudge, not because someone forced you to, but because you're smart enough to understand that if he's prepared to reciprocate, even with demons, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead... I was reading one book about the different names of Krishna and Krishna's qualities. And one of the names of Krishna, I can't remember the exact name, but it relates to him being someone who gives mercy even to the demons that he kills, because they receive liberation. If a person is prepared to give mercy even to people who don't even like him, I mean, they don't even like him, let's be honest, right? They're trying to kill him. If he's prepared to give mercy to such people, what do you think he's prepared to do, or how do you think he's prepared to reciprocate with your devotional service? I mean, really. So our process is meant to find out. Your devotional service is significant according to the sincerity with which it is carried out. From quality, quantity will come. If you serve sincerely, Krishna will take even what you consider an insignificant activity and it will be spiritually powerful. Right? How do we get blessings and how is this movement carrying on? It is carrying on by the purity of the devotees. The person who cleans the temple room with sincere devotion, the the phenomenal spiritual potency that is released by the sincerity of that individual, that does more to spread the movement than someone who's making so many external big arrangements. Right? If that external arrangement is not done with as much purity. It is purity that fuels the engine of Krishna consciousness. So plan and strategize to spread this mission in a big way externally, no problem. But don't think that it's just about the externals. Huh? Don't think it's just about the Rolls Royce. The Rolls Royce moves because there's some fuel in the engine. The devotion is the fuel in the engine. Without the fuel in the engine, it doesn't matter how big the external vehicle is, it is absolutely 100% going nowhere. Does that make sense? So our Krishna consciousness movement is an understanding of how to constantly put high-grade octane fuel in the engine. Huh? And that comes by the sincerity of our devotional service and the sincerity with which we lovingly encourage one another forward in our spiritual life. And we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.